Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Today's show is brought to you by Savorian Wines. Savorian Inc. is based in New York City and Barcelona, Spain. They are involved in every aspect of the luxury wine industry and operate a wide range of businesses, including vineyard partnership, winery management, wine import and export, and wine marketing and logistics. I actually just tasted the Garnacha Blanca and it was pretty damn good. For more information on Savorian and to purchase their wines, visit Savorian.com. Welcome to Let's Get Real on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Weitz, your host. And, when I get hungry, I get really hungry. It's bad. Things get ugly quickly when I'm hungry. There's something in me, in my metabolism or my blood sugar regulating mechanism that makes me fall apart, basically, if I don't eat regularly. And over the years, I've kind of learned how to manage it and kind of balance things out and make sure I eat the right stuff. I figured out a really long time ago what not to eat. You know, like, don't have a pile of pancakes with syrup in the morning, because by 9:30, you'll crash so hard you'll fall asleep. You know, it's like things like that. I figured it out. And so I figured out, like, what to do. Have some protein at each meal, not too many white carbs. Lots of vegetables. It works. Because if I don't eat really well at every meal and I don't eat regularly, I really start to crash. My blood sugar just crashes and I get weak and I get shaky feeling and I'll get like really lightheaded. Sometimes I'll even start to cry. I have a little emotional meltdown. It's not pretty. And my husband, actually, after all these years, has seen this happen and he calls it egging out. When I'm starting to egg out, because when we first met and he experienced it, he said what he was going to do was carry a hard-boiled egg around in his pocket from now on to feed to me if it ever happens. So what I need to do every day is kind of plan it out, like make sure that I eat the breakfast that I always eat and make sure that I know where I'm going to be for lunch. Just kind of plan it out that way, which most people really should do. You shouldn't sort of just wing it with food. And it's okay when I'm working because I teach in a culinary school, so there's always food around kind of no matter what, although it's not always the kind of food I want to eat. You know, I don't want to eat blanquette de veau for lunch most days. I want to eat broccoli rabe and salmon. But if I'm not teaching on a day, I have to really think about it, because teaching means eating all day, but not teaching means, oh my God, what am I going to eat today? I have to figure it out. And often I don't have any food at home because I'm like everybody else. I don't have any food at home. So if I don't have a plan, I have to make sure that what I'm out, you know, when I'm out, what I'm eating, if I'm out, is going to work for me. And I also know that no matter what, I'm going to have a snack in the afternoon. Like, I cannot get from lunch to dinner without having a snack. It's just what happens to me. So that's okay. Like, if I eat lunch, then I go to work. I eat all afternoon and then I eat dinner, so I'm fine. But like today, I had a situation where I was home. I worked out in the morning. I ate lunch. Then I left and I went to a 3-hour meeting with somebody before I came here. And so, of course, what happens? I start to get hungry. I start to crash. And then what do? Because I'm out there on the streets and I want to eat something and I need quality food. And what I don't want is junky snack food. We are surrounded by junky snack food, and that's not what I want, because really our world has become like one gigantic vending machine of snacks. We live in this non-stop 24-hour convenience food world now, and everywhere you turn, there's food and there's snacks. At, you know, every cash register of every store, even if it's not a food store, there's food. So it's become like almost too convenient to just snack all the time. And, you know, we're always on the run, or so we say we are. That's like our cultural thing. We're like, oh, we're always on the run. Everybody's on the run. Oh, I'm so busy. I'm always on the run. I'm always on the go. Or so we say. And so the food industry wants us to think we are. And so we think that because we're always on the run, we kind of need to be like continuously snacking. Like, oh my God, I always need to be eating something. But when you start to look around at what's being offered to us, like all the so-called snacks that are available to us, you know, there's the two categories, or there's really the three categories that I always talk about. There's food, real food, and then there's junk food, what I grew up with as junk food. And then there's always, you know, it's coming, foodiness, snack foods. And you may start to notice some of those foodiness snack foods when you're hungry and you're looking around and you're thinking, oh, I really don't want to eat a Twinkie or a donut or, you know, a bag of chips. I want to eat something healthier for me. And so you see these whole aisles in stores of healthy snacks, foodiness snacks, things like soy crisps and protein bars and veggie puffs and all kinds of yogurt with all kinds of stuff added to it, fruit and fiber and tricks and all kinds of things, you know, or like power cookies with fiber in them. But that's still foodiness. That's not real food. And when I need my afternoon mini meal, which is really kind of what it is for me, the fourth meal, different from the fourth meal that the fast food industry is trying to promote. By the way, the fast food industry wants you to eat the fourth meal. They want you to have like a Big Mac at 3 p.m. It's not really what I'm talking about. But when I need that little mini meal and I'm not home or I'm not at work and I have to actually seek it out, you know, I see what's out there. Like I said, there's junk food and there's real food and there's foodiness. And foodiness, of course, is just junk food in greenwashed organic cotton overalls walking around in Birkenstocks. Foodiness stands in for the junk food, kind of filling the same niche or filling the same place, but like in a much bigger presence now. I've noticed it's that aisle is getting kind of bigger and bigger. And it's foodiness that's telling us that it's perfectly okay to eat a candy bar as that mini meal, as long as the candy bar is in the guise of this protein-packed, vitamin, fiber-added soy bar. But what they're not telling you on the label of that bar is that it actually, you know, could have like 30 grams of sugar, which is more than a Snickers bar. And it's probably made from GMO corn and soy and all those nasty things. And really, maybe you're better off eating the Snickers bar, because at least in that, you're going to get antioxidants from the chocolate and you're going to get peanuts, and that's real food. But, you know, I get hungry. Like I said, I get really hungry. And when I'm hungry, I want food, not foodiness. And that's hard if I'm on the run, if I have to eat it on the subway or I have to eat it like walking from one meeting to another or I'm on my way here to do my show. So I look around at all my options. And I mean, I live in New York City. So if there's ever a place to buy food at, you know, every 6 feet, it's here. But I don't really want a whole meal. What I want is kind of a mini meal. I want a mini version of what I would normally eat. So when I'm on my way to the pool and I start swimming, I don't egg out in the pool and drown, you know, or I come here to do my show and halfway through the show, I space out and forget what I'm talking about, which can happen. So I don't really want anything that's like carby. Like I don't want a bagel. I don't want pretzels. That doesn't do it for me. I don't want anything sweet at all. Sugar doesn't work for me either. I don't want cookies, and I don't want, like, power cookies either. They're all full of sugar, too. And, you know, I love fruit. Fruit's great. Fruit is, you know, God's snack food. But fruit doesn't work either because fruit's full of sugar, and it gives me crash, even though it's all natural and it's fruit and everything. But, you know, I eat it. I feel good for about 5 minutes, and I'm falling asleep. Plus, fruit, you know, it's messy. It makes your hands sticky, and if the fruit's not clean, you have to wash it. And what if you can't wash it? There's no sink, and then you can't wash your hands, and then what are you going to do with the peel or the core? And it turns into just, ugh, this whole thing. I'm not going to get, like, a burger or a sandwich because that's too much food, and it's too filling, and usually the bread is crap, and I don't want that either. So snacking on real food when you're on the go becomes extremely inconvenient, even for me. It's a challenge for me. Real food is inconvenient. I talked about this a few episodes ago in my show called An Inconvenient Food. Real food is inconvenient. It's not easy to find real food in sort of mini, hands-on, packable, travelable form. I mean, I love yogurt. I could eat yogurt 3 meals a day. But unless I put it in a little container and bring it from home, I have to buy it. And all those little yogurts in the supermarket and the deli are all the pre-sweetened kind with all the sugar and thickeners and starches and all the gloppy fruit in the bottom. And I don't want that. That's too sweet. And I would buy like the little mini cups of plain yogurt, but that's too plain. What I want is yogurt, good quality Greek yogurt with like a teaspoon of honey. That's all I want. So I suppose I could carry like a little jar of honey around in my bag and maybe my little bag of almonds when I don't forget to bring those. I actually do sometimes carry almonds around with me, but then sometimes I forget they're in my bag and I find them about 6 months later at the bottom and they're not so nice. And the little jar of honey is a good idea, but if I drop the bag, then the glass would break. And you see what I mean? It's a challenge. It's not easy. You know, like last week, the same thing happened to me. I had a long meeting in the afternoon. I was on my way here to do the show. I was really hungry. I knew I really needed some food. Usually I come here to Roberta's and there's food because we get to eat Roberta's food. But they were closed last week. So I was like, oh my God, I'm starting to egg out. What am I going to do? What am I going to eat? And so I will tell you this. It's not a secret anymore. It's just between me and the millions of you who listen to this show every week. I went to Chipotle. I know. I can hear the gasps in the background. I went to Chipotle because Chipotle is actually really high quality food. They use pretty good quality meat. You can get brown rice, black beans. So I went to Chipotle and I got some food from Chipotle and I brought it here. Here to Roberta's, the temple of real food. And I sat here in the studio and I ate my food from Chipotle. And it was pretty good. And I felt pretty good about it. I didn't feel so bad.
This is a true story.
What? Oh, yeah. Jack saw me.
Yeah.
Jack observed it. It's true. And I felt okay about it. Jack loves Chipotle.
I do.
I know. We're working on that. So it wasn't too bad. I mean, it was... I don't know if I'd call Chipotle foodiness. I mean, I think it's fast food, but it's pretty decent. I would say I wasn't too far down the rabbit hole of foodiness with that one. But I was thinking this morning of like what my perfect snack would be. The perfect non-messy 5-bite super healthy non-foodiness fantasy snack product would be. Like if I could go into the place where they make snacks, the snack factory, but not like the bad snack factory. If I could engineer in my fantasy snack factory, engineer my perfect snack for my post-lunch, pre-workout, on the move, no napkin or fork or mess involved snack, I think it would be thus. It would be a block, maybe a little bigger than like a Snickers bar, block of cooked, compressed, finely chopped leafy greens, like spinach or kale or something like that. And they'd be finely chopped, so when you bit into it, it was easy. And the chopped, cooked, compressed greens would be wrapped around another block inside of some kind of protein, like wild salmon or like high-quality pastured chicken or even like some kind of soy product even. And then inside of the protein, there would be like a core in there of some kind of whole grain, like quinoa or like brown rice or something like that. So it'd be those three things. And then somewhere in there too would be a layer of non-drippy Greek yogurt, like some kind of solid Greek yogurt. I know it's starting to sound a little gross, but this is my fantasy, not yours. And, you know, you eat what you want. Then the whole thing would be shrink-wrapped in an edible film, like an edible gelatin based film, so that it was easy to bite through and not messy, and it wouldn't leave anything on your fingers, and it wouldn't need refrigeration either. That's the thing. You could throw it in your bag and you could pull it out when you needed a snack and you'd never have to worry about it. And you'd have protein in there and you'd get a vegetable and you'd get some whole grain carbs and you'd even get your little dairy in there. And the whole thing would be under 200 calories. So it's a snack, but it's not a meal. Because we're not really looking to make that fourth meal. We just want a snack. Now, I know that's fantasy foodiness or fantasy snack land, and it's not very realistic. If it were realistic, somebody would be making it. But, you know, if you wanted to make a snack like that, you'd need to hire, like, me to come and do it for you every day at home, like a personal assistant. But if we can make stackable potato chips in a can, why can't we make that snack? It reminds me sort of like onigiri, which are these Japanese snack food. They're rice balls. They're sushi rice pressed into a triangle, a triangular ball. I know that doesn't make sense. But there are these triangles, and inside the rice triangle is some kind of filling, and it's usually like shredded cooked salmon or cod roe or cod sperm. Yeah, I ate that one once. And then they're wrapped up in nori, which is seaweed. And they're perfect. It's almost that same idea, except they're all white rice, but that's okay. And the cool thing about onigiri is they come wrapped in these ingenious, brilliant plastic wrappers that somehow keep the nori off of the rice until you're ready to eat it. Some brilliant engineer invented this wrapper. So what you do is you basically pull a little tab on the plastic wrapper. The plastic comes off and the nori somehow slides behind the plastic onto the rice and wraps around the rice. So the nori stays crisp until the moment that you eat it. It is totally brilliant. And in Japan, you can get onigiri at like 7-Eleven, which are everywhere in Asia and sell actual food in Asia. Like you can go into 7-Eleven in Tokyo and get onigiri filled with all this great stuff and it's real food and it's snack. At our 7-Elevens, you can get a 64-ounce bucket of sugar water and a microwavable corn dog. Something's going on there with 7-Eleven. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Savorian Wines. Welcome back to Let's Get Real on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. And remember that if you are a fan of Let's Get Real, you can find us on Facebook, leave questions, comments. I got an amazing comment this week from a Let's Get Real listener in Japan. Speaking of Japan, an American guy who listens in Japan loved it. He said, since he's been listening to my show in Japan, he and his friends have been eating a lot less shit. So, props to Japan. Thanks for listening.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, exactly. So you can leave questions, comments there. You can also always leave comments on the Heritage Radio Network website. And we like to see those too. And of course, you can listen live or archived any show on the website. Or you can listen to this show later on Tuesday nights on letsgetrealshow.com, where you can also read my vlog, my foodiness blog, my vlog. And, of course, every Heritage Radio show is on iTunes, too. So the choices are endless. It's kind of like walking down the snack aisle, except that everything is good for you instead of everything is bad for you. No matter which way you eat your Heritage Radio Network content, it's good for you. There's no foodiness here. So anyway, we're talking about snacks. And I was talking to people this weekend about how, you know, those of us over a certain age, like, I remember that when I was a little kid, back when I was young, back in the 70s and 80s, there was really something of a social taboo against snacking between meals. Like, you weren't really supposed to do it. It was kind of frowned upon. You could come home from school and have your after-school snack, but, like, that was it. Three meals a day, one snack. And that's what everybody did. And in our house, of course, the snack wasn't anything good. You know, I wasn't eating like a box of devil dogs, you know, or crap like that. It was like a banana with some peanut butter or a little box of raisins. Or, you know, maybe Fig Newtons if we were lucky, if it was a good week in our house. But, you know, it was a snack and you had your snack and then you had dinner a few hours later. Between meal snacks were like frowned upon. Even the back of the toothpaste used to say it. It used to say, limit between meal snacks. I don't know if the toothpaste still says that anymore, but there was definitely this feeling of like, oh, your kids snack too much. They shouldn't be snacking. Now, it's completely changed, I think, now, because moms that I know, I'm not a mom, but I know moms, they've told me now that it's expected that whenever and wherever there are kids in groups of more than two, you are expected to serve them a snack, or you are in charge of bringing the snack. There's always the expectation of a snack. And everywhere I turn, I see toddlers with little tiny bags of Cheerios walking around in their little sweaty, tiny, fat palms, little bags of Cheerios and cereal that they eat all day long. Now, I remember way, way back. I have a very good memory. I remember being three. I don't remember ever carrying around a little tote bag of Cheerios with me, ever. Maybe that's why my blood sugar's so messed up, because I didn't get enough snacks when I was a little kid. I don't know. Are those kids hungry? Are kids hungry all the time? Or is it maybe just to keep them quiet, keep them occupied? Maybe it's like Ritalin. I don't know. But, I mean, do we really need to be eating all day? I mean, I think, you know, it just shows that how far we've kind of snackified our culture. We are snackified. It's as if like we're all overgrown toddlers now, and we're all like eternally teething, and we need something to gnaw on all day. We all walk around with our little bag of Cheerios, so we have something in our mouth all day. Or it's like we were never like properly weaned, and we all need to have like these gigantic, like, you know, nipple topped bottles filled with Sports Aid to hydrate us all day as we sit at our desks and stare at our screens, because, you know, sitting at your desk, you get very dehydrated and you need your electrolytes. You need to rehydrate. And maybe, you know, maybe we need that stuff. I don't know. I don't think we need to be eating all day long. I certainly don't think we need 64-ounce beverages, unless it's water. But I feel like we can now justify all that snacking because, you know, that old opportunist of foodiness has kind of stepped in to make us feel okay about it all. I'm not snacking. I'm nutritionizing. I'm hydrating. I need this power bar and I need this blue sports juice drink because making all these photocopies all day is really grueling work and I'm really, really, really busy and I'm on the run all the time. So I need it. Well, yeah, we do need to eat. I mean, we all get hungry. We need food. I know for myself for sure that three meals a day isn't enough for me. I need that afternoon snack. But I'm actually on the go a lot. I run around all day. And I have a blood sugar issue, so I need snack between meals. Sometimes I snack twice a day. But it's not like this kind of constant grazing that I see going on. And there's become like a whole universe of junk food and foodiness snacks out there. But there's not really real food in snack form, like that fantasy food I was talking about before, the, you know, salmon wrapped with veggies with quinoa inside wrapped in an edible wrapper. Like, we don't have that. And that's kind of what we need. You know, we can eliminate all the obvious junk. We can eliminate the donuts and the Doritos. You know, but I don't want any of the foodiness snacks either. I don't want the soy-based crispy things and the veggie doodly puff things and the synthetic protein bars that to me taste like Flintstones vitamins and soy flour, by the way. I think they taste horrible. So what do you do? If you're in a situation like me, you need to eat. You don't want junk. You don't want to go down that rabbit hole of foodiness either. What are you going to do? Well, I carry around a bag of nuts, like I said. Some almonds. But, you know, that gets kind of boring. They can get stale in your bag. Maybe you're allergic to nuts. I don't know. And you always have to drink water with those because they just get stuck in your throat. It's kind of tricky. But, you know, you can plan ahead and carry food around with you, like a little bag of cubes of cheese or sunflower seeds or a banana. Although bananas are tricky, too, because they get bruised and they smell. And or even maybe like a hard-boiled egg. Like, that's a good one. Sometimes I keep an egg in my bag. Now, the food safety and sanitation police who are out there are going to try to scare the crap out of you and tell you that unless you keep your food refrigerated constantly at 2 degrees above freezing, you will die of a horrible foodborne illness. But you know what? It's okay, really, to keep your food out for a couple of hours. Like, you could put a hard-boiled egg in your bag and leave it out 3-4 hours. You'll be okay. You're not going to die. It's all right. You should see what they do in other countries. We would be terrified. You don't have to worry so much about the refrigeration. You're only going to keep things out 3-4 hours. And maybe you have a little fridge at work or in your car. I swear, I just saw a car ad that had a refrigerated glove compartment for keeping snacks in. Maybe I was imagining that, but I think it's true. And if you were a fan of my previous Heritage Radio show, Why We Cook, if you check out episode 64, that's what it's all about. It's all about refrigeration and how kind of refrigerator crazed we've become. So you could actually keep those snacks around and you'll live. It's okay. It's okay. So what are you going to do other than keeping the hard-boiled egg or maybe the nuts or something? You want to snack on real food. Now, we know that real food is inconvenient. There's no doubt about it. You can't get around it. It's definitely the most difficult aspect of all of this, not just for me, for everybody. And that's why we succumb. That's why you wind up eating crap. That's why you go to the drive-thru. Snacking on real food is a really hard one. It's hard to find that kind of food out there in that kind of handy, portable, non-messy form. Maybe what you should do is start cooking. Cook more at home. If you cooked meals at home and made a little extra, then maybe you could pull parts of the meal out and take it to work with you on the run. So I do that sometimes. If I make a meal and I have leftover components, I put them in a little container, take them with me, and I snack on it as real food. So in terms of realistically introducing more real food into your day, or at least something realer than what you've been snacking on, into your snack routine, I would say just start off by eating real food. If you eat real food at your meals, and we know what real food is, right? Real food is things, that have grown or flown or walked or swam or, been plucked off a tree in their relatively non-adulterated forms. If you start off with that, you start off by eating real food at your meals, then you can kind of balance out the effects of, if you have to have that foodiness snack or even that junk food snack, at least, you're finding balance. This is a show called Let's Get Real. I'm not trying to be preachy. I'm not trying to be food elite here. I'm trying to give you practical solutions. So first off, eat some real food. Then if you're kind of curious about your snacks and, where they fall on the scope of foodiness, remember that on my website on letsgetrealshow.com, I actually give you a breakdown of the 6 degrees of foodiness from a real apple all the way down to the 6th degree foodiness apple. So you could actually kind of check that out and kind of hold your snacks up to that chart and sort of see where they fall on that. That way you'll kind of know what you're getting yourself into when you buy snacks. Because just because a snack is marketed to you as something healthy, don't buy into that. They're telling you it's healthy, but the same people who are telling you it's healthy are the same people who also used to sell us cigarettes and tell us that those were good for us too. One of my colleagues at work likes to say, "Don't piss on me and tell me it's raining." Well, it's the same kind of thing. Philip Morris used to sell you cigarettes. Now Philip Morris owns Nabisco and they're selling you the same kind of crap. So just because a package of puffs has the word veggie on it, it doesn't mean there's any vegetables in them. That's for sure. That's sort of 4th or 5th degree foodiness, Apple Jacks. It says apple on the label. There's apple flavoring in the package. There's really no apples there. And even something like veggie puffs are still going to be made probably from GMO corn. Not such great ingredients. You're actually better off eating Tostitos than eating veggie puffs because Tostitos have a gram of fiber. Yep, I found this out. Or even eating organic potato chips, real potato chips instead of the stackable ones. That's food over foodiness too. There are degrees here. The 6 degrees of foodiness can be really helpful when it comes to making decisions about your snacks. I would always say, eat a real potato chip over eating the kind that stack. Because a real potato chip, you can't stack it in a can. And you know what I tell you every week, the best thing to do, of course, is cook for yourself. Like I said earlier, cook enough for a few meals and then break out elements of that. Put it in a little bag and take it with you. Don't worry about the fridge. You will live. Trust me. Like sometimes I'll make, you know, chicken or some kind of protein for dinner. So then I'll take a few pieces of it cold. I'll throw it in a little Ziploc bag. I'll throw it in my backpack or even like a little container of cooked beans, canned beans or some cooked vegetables. You just throw them in a little container, put it in your bag. Now I know there's a container involved and then you have to wash the container and bring it home. Because you're an environmentally aware person and you're not going to throw away that container. Well, you could throw away the container. It's okay. At least you're bringing food. Look, if you went out and bought something in a package, you'd still be throwing away the packaging from that, right? So it kind of balances out. At least you're getting the good food out of it. You could throw away the fork too. I won't tell. Real food is inconvenient. That's what I keep saying. Real food is inconvenient. But you know what else is inconvenient? Diabetes, maybe heart disease, even death. Although actually death is not inconvenient for you. Death is only inconvenient for the people around you who then have to deal with your death. Death inconveniences everybody else, but it's pretty easy for you. Now I know it's a tough one. It involves planning. I don't always plan well either. Look, that's how I wound up eating a Chipotle and eating, you know, hummus from a little plastic tub today. I get stuck too, but you can figure it out. There are ways to do it. You know, you don't want to eat an apple because it gets kind of messy. You can maybe get some dried apples. That would work. Nuts, seeds. I recently discovered chia seed. Remember the chia pet? Well, the chia pet grew from chia seeds. It turns out that chia seeds are these like wonder seeds of nutrition. Here we were all these years using them to grow fur on ceramic animals when we should have been eating them in the first place. Buy yourself some chia seeds at, you know, Whole Foods or something. You could just pour them right into your mouth from the bag. By the way, they're actually pretty good. Throw them in your yogurt. You can even go into 7-Eleven now and buy hard-boiled eggs. I did notice this one day when I was having a meltdown of low blood sugar. You can buy little hard-boiled eggs. Now, they're not going to be like the good pastured eggs that I go on and on about. They're not going to be from, you know, happy chickens in fields eating bugs and cow manure. But at least you're eating hard-boiled eggs. And you're not eating whatever foodiness garbage someone's trying to sell you somewhere else. So there are ways around it. There are ways around it. Now, what if you're like in your car and you have to go to the drive-thru? Well, you know what? That's a whole other show. We're going to do a whole show on drive-thru culture. So that'll be coming down the road, so to speak. So it's always better. Choose real food over foodiness, even if the real food isn't the best version of itself. Like that egg. You know, a non-organic factory farmed hard-boiled egg is always going to be better than a foodiness product, but not as good as the organic grass-fed or free-range version of itself, of course. Food always trumps foodiness, even if that food has been effed with. So here's just a couple of quick facts. We're running out of time. Facts about snacks. Snack facts. We now spend nearly 50% of our food dollars on away from home meals and snacks. 50% of our food dollar is spent on food outside of the house. Ask your great grandma, if she's still alive, how much she used to spend. That's up a lot since the 80s. It's up a lot since your grandma and great grandma. I used to say ask your grandma, but then I suddenly realized that I could theoretically be your grandma if you were 4 years old and listening to the show. So now I have to say great grandma. So 50% of our food dollars are spent away from the home now. And our away from home food consumption is almost 40% of our total food intake. So 40% of our food intake is from food not made at home. And that's up 18% from the 70s. So that's a lot. 24% of our daily calories come from snacks. 24%. A quarter of your daily food comes from snacks. And that fourth meal that I was talking about now averages 580 calories a day. Now, for your average adult who should have around 2,000, 2,500 calories a day, That's a lot. For somebody like me, who's only supposed to have about 1,600 calories a day, that's a lot. That's a huge amount. Maybe that's why we're having some weight issues in the country. So look before you eat. Be aware. Be aware of foodiness snacks. Snacking isn't life or death, but foodiness snacks are going to take you very deep down that rabbit hole. Snack products are a way for you to get hooked on the doppelganger of food, which is foodiness, and to convince you that foodiness products are better than food. Foodiness products are presenting themselves as better than food. It's like this unspoken promise. It's the hardest spell to break, I think, is the spell of propaganda. And foodiness is food propaganda. So, if you don't want to eat shit, you better keep listening to Let's Get Real on Heritage Radio Network.
Shout out to all the four-year-olds listening. Show
me around. On next week's show, we're going to talk about fruit, not fruit. Since this is radio, you can't see the quotes, but that second fruit was in quotes.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. Following is a public service announcement from Food Karma. To kick off the New York City Meat Week in style, Meat with a Twist will bring together the best chefs and mixologists for a cocktail food pairing party on November 7th from 6 to 10 p.m. at City Winery. Meat with a Twist features 10 cocktails paired with 10 chef selections highlighting local, sustainably grown meat such as duck, lamb, chicken, pork, beef, bison, and ostrich. The party will launch a week's worth of events throughout the city that celebrate the slow food movement bringing sustainable meats to our tables. Again, that's November 7th from 6 to 10 p.m. at City Winery. Updates, tickets, and more information are available at meatweeknyc.com.